From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Indonesian Minister of Law and Human Rights Yasona Lauli proclaimed 2022 as the Year of Copyright. The declaration was marked by the launch of automatic copyright registration approval application in Jakarta. It is a system created to speed up the process of copyright approval that was previously takes approximately 1 day or 1 day services to about 10 minutes after making the payment. On 17th of January, the Minister of National Development Planning and Head of Bappenas, Suharto Monoarfa, announced the name of Indonesia's new state capital in East Kalimantan as Nusantara, which is chosen by President Joko Widodo. Suharto explained the name Nusantara has been known by the wider community since long ago, both domestically and globally. So it becomes an icon for Indonesia. He added, the name Nusantara was also chosen because it is able to describe the archipelago or the diversity of the Republic of Indonesia. 21st of January, the House of Representatives, the government and election organizers agree on a voting schedule for 2024 general election to be held on February 14, 2024. The election will include the presidential and vice presidential elections, election for members of the House of Representatives, provincial House members, the Regency, City House members, and members of the Regional House of Representatives. Meanwhile, the election for governor or regent and mayor has been agreed to be held on November 27, 2024.
Voice of Indonesia.
Let's move on to February 3rd. Chief of Staff of the Indonesian Navy Admiral TNI Yudo Margono inaugurated the formation of the Indonesian Fleet Command Koarmada. The inauguration was carried out at the Koarmada 1 Dock Pondok Dayung Tanjung Priok, North Jakarta on Thursday. Yudo Margono said the establishment of the Koarmada was intended to face challenges and threats in Indonesian waters, including the situation in the South China Sea. He mentioned several trouble spots in the western region, including the Natuna Sea, Malacca Strait, Singapore Strait, as well as the border with India. Meanwhile, Vice Admiral TNI Agung Prasetyawan was named as Commander of the Republic of Indonesia Fleet Command. On February 24th, the government of Indonesia conveyed 4 points of stance towards the conflict that occurred between Russia and Ukraine. These were conveyed by the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs spokesperson Tuku Faizasyah. The 4 points of stance are, first, Indonesia is concerned about the escalation of armed conflict in Ukrainian territory, which seriously endangers security of the people and has an impact on peace in the region. Second, Indonesia affirms compliance with international law and the UN Charter regarding the territorial integrity of a country territory and condemn any action that is a clear violation of the territory and sovereignty of the country. Third, Indonesia reaffirms so that all parties continue to prioritize negotiations and diplomacy to stop the conflict and prioritize a peaceful settlement. Fourth, the Indonesian embassy has taken the necessary steps to save Indonesian citizens in Ukraine according to the contingency plans that have been prepared.
Voice of Indonesia.
Switching to March. March the 10th. President Joko Widodo inaugurated Bambang Susantono and Doni Rahajoy as the head and deputy head of Indonesian Capital City Authority at the State Palace. Bambang Susantono said that he and Doni would do their best to carry out the assignment and mandate as the head and deputy head of the Capital City Authority. In accordance of the direction of the president, both of them will strive to build it as a city that can reflect Indonesian cities in the future. The existing programs are not just building it physically, but also the dynamic, vibrant social community cohesion, so that it will become a city for all. March 20th, 2022. Indonesia hosted the 144th Inter-Parliamentary Union or IPU meeting in Nusa Dua, Bali from March 20th until 24th, 2022. The meeting resulted in the Nusa Dua Declaration, which reflects efforts to mobilize parliamentary action for mitigation and adaptation climate change according to the theme discussed. Apart from the Nusa Dua Declaration, the 144th IPU session also produced a peace resolution and IT resolution. In addition, the IPU meeting in Nusa Dua, Bali also produced an emergency item resolution which contained a peace resolution related to the Russian-Ukraine war.
Indonesia sejak awal menekankan pentingnya peran sentral.
From the start, Indonesia emphasized the importance of the IPU's central role in seeking a balanced solution to the Ukraine issue by prioritizing respect for international law, territorial integrity and sovereignty, conflict cessation, use of dialogue and diplomacy in humanitarian aid, and guaranteeing a safe passage for refugees leaving Ukraine. Puan Maharani further said that Indonesia had also succeeded in convincing IPU member countries to jointly form a task force that would specifically work to promote a peace between Russia and Ukraine. The 31st of March, President Joko Widodo received a visit from the Prime Minister of Papua New Guinea at Bogor Presidential Palace, West Java. In a press statement after the meeting, President Joko Widodo said Indonesia's readiness to reopen the border post with Papua New Guinea in order to increase trade between the two countries, especially in the cross-border area.
Voice of Indonesia.
Let's move on to April. April 22nd, President Joko Widodo on Friday announced the Indonesian government would ban the export of cooking oil and its raw materials, taking effect starting April 28, 2022 until an undetermined deadline. The decision was made after the president chaired a meeting attended by ministerial ranks to discuss fulfilling the basic needs of the people. President Joko Widodo, in a statement broadcast on the presidential secretariat's official YouTube channel, promised to directly monitor and evaluate the implementations of the policy. The president emphasized that this was done so that the availability of cooking oil in the country was abundant at affordable prices. On April 29, Chairman of Indonesian People's Consultative Assembly Bambang Susatyo inaugurated the four pillars of the Indonesian People's Consultative Assembly monument at Taman Agung Proklamasi Bali. Bambang Susatyo, in his statement, said the four pillars consisted of Pancasila as the basic principles of the state, the 1945 Constitution as the constitutional basis, the Unitary Republic of Indonesia as the consensus form of state sovereignty, and Bhinneka Tunggal Ika, or uniting diversity as a unifying motto in the pluralistic nation. Bambang Susatyo said the four pillars of the Indonesian People's Consultative Assembly monument is also an encouragement and a sign that they must continue to be intensified to various levels of society, that raya identity, immunity and strong national character can be built in warding off various ideological virus threats that can divide the nation's pluralism and Indonesia's sovereignty.
Voice of Indonesia.
Switching to May. On May the 10th, Minister of Defense Prabowo Subianto received a visit from the Chief of Staff of the Singapore Army, Brigadier General David Neo, at his office in Jakarta. During the meeting, Minister Prabowo Subianto hopes that the cooperation and friendship between the two countries can be maintained in the spirit of brotherhood as well as the principle of mutual respect. Defense cooperation between the two countries can be developed in other sectors, such as the defense industry and cyber defense. May the 11th until the 13th, President Joko Widodo paid a visit to the United States to attend the ASEAN-US Special Summit, or AUSS. In his remarks at a working lunch with the U.S. Vice President at U.S. Department of Foreign Affairs, Washington, D.C., President Joko Widodo emphasized the importance of strengthening the partnership between ASEAN and the United States to anticipate pandemics in the future. According to the President, there are four things that must be done to complete the work. First, cooperation in developing a more effective early detection system. Second, cooperation in forming a regional medical inventory buffer. Third, regional health industry independence. Fourth, regional health financing, such as through the ASEAN COVID-19 Response Fund.
Voice of Indonesia.
Let's move on to June. 6 June, President Joko Widodo received a visit from Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese at the Bogor Presidential Palace, West Java. The two heads of state discussed five topics of mutually beneficial in strengthening bilateral relations between the two countries, especially in the economic and investment fields. First, the importance of expanding Indonesian export access with high added value. Indonesia wants export access to Australia continues to be open. Second, implementation of the IACEPA, especially related to increasing opportunities for Indonesian citizens to work in Australia, including increasing the working holiday visa quota to 5,000 participants per year. Third, cooperation in the fields of education and health between the two countries. Fourth, strengthening food security. Fifth, efforts to maintain the sustainability of food supply chain, including wheat, in the midst of a very difficult world situation. On June 15, Vice President of Zimbabwe Constantino Chiwenga, who also served as Ministers of Health and Child Protection, arrived in Jakarta for a week-long working visit to Indonesia. On June 17, Vice President Chiwenga met Indonesian Vice President Maruf Amin. In the meeting, Maruf Amin hopes that there will be an increase in cooperation between Indonesia and Zimbabwe in various fields, ranging from the economy to the military. Maruf Amin also encourages a balance of trade with Zimbabwe, one of which is the export of Indonesian raw material products. In the strategic sector, Maruf Amin also said Indonesia has the capability to produce military equipment, such as vehicle and weapons, and also non-military equipment from PT Pindad for the modernization of the Zimbabwean military. In line with Maruf Amin, Vice President Chiwenga hopes that Indonesia can assist his country in developing infrastructure, especially revitalizing the railway sector through cooperation with several related SOEs. Chiwenga said cooperations in the fields of defense was also enhanced through exchanges, visits, and training between defense industries. June 21st, President Joko Widodo received a courtesy call from the Director General of the World Health Organization, WHO, Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi, after accompanying the President, stated the Director General of WHO expressed his appreciation for Indonesia's achievement in overcoming the COVID-19 pandemic. According to him, Indonesia is one of the countries with the best achievements in the fields of vaccination compared to other countries in the world. Retno Marsudi added, the Director General of WHO also assessed that the main health system and compulsory health insurance in Indonesia were running well. Well, listener, that was the January to June 2022 Kaleidoscope. We'll be back tomorrow with July to December 2022 Kaleidoscope.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's Diplomatic Corner highlights: Indonesian Consulate General in Osaka encourages Japanese business people to invest in Indonesia. Listeners, the Consulate General of the Republic of Indonesia and the Osaka Indonesian Trade Promotion Center, ITPC, are encouraging entrepreneurs in Japan's Kagawa Prefecture to invest in Indonesia. This was conveyed in the presence of Governor Toyohito Ikeda and his staff, members of parliament, and a number of Kagawa Prefecture business people who are members of the Indonesian and Kagawa Friendship Association at Shizuchu Kagawa. The Indonesian Consul General in Osaka, Diana Sutikno, in a written statement in Jakarta Tuesday, stated that Indonesia and Japan are two strategic partner countries and will commemorate the 65th diplomatic relations in 2023 and will be supported by Indonesia's leadership as chair of ASEAN and Japan as chair of the G7 in 2023. Therefore, it is necessary to continue to strengthen cooperation for the prosperity of the people of both countries. For this reason, according to Diana, companies and entrepreneurs in Kagawa Prefecture, especially in the fields of infrastructure, health, and agricultural products, are encouraged to expand their investment in Indonesia. Ikeda welcomed the presence of the Indonesian representative in Osaka and supported effort to increase cooperation in various sectors. He also expressed his gratitude for the support of the Indonesian Consulate and ITPC Osaka in a bid to increase Indonesia's cooperation with Kagawa. In the future, he hopes that a good relation can continue to be strengthened through cooperation in various sectors. Being known for its udon food, Kagawa is also home to a number of Japan's leading companies in the fields of engine construction, shipbuilding, automotive, and electrical machinery. According to Diana, Kagawa is prefecture in the working area of the Indonesian Consulate General in Osaka, which has great potential to support Japan's cooperation with Indonesia. Apart from the investment and trade sectors, currently around 1,000 Indonesian citizens are studying and working as apprentices and experts at Kagawa. In the health sector, particularly in elderly nursing, there are still wide opportunities for educated elderly nurses in Indonesia to work in this sector. The Indonesian Consulate General will support efforts to expand cooperation in the fields of employment in the health sector and also human resource training through collaboration with universities and local companies for the processed food industry. The Indonesian Consulate General and ITPC Osaka will facilitate follow-up cooperation, including investment opportunities from Kagawa to Indonesia to support ASEAN development. That's Diplomatic Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
We begin today in history with the event on December 29, 1911, when Sun Yat-sen became interim president of the Republic of China. Sun Yat-sen was a key leader of the Chinese Revolution, and he is widely recognized as the father of modern China, both in mainland China and Taiwan. At the time, China was ruled by an emperor who ruled as if he were a god. In 1895, he led an uprising in Canton, but was suppressed. Altogether, he led 11 revolutions against the Qing dynasty and eventually succeeded in overthrowing the empire so that the emperor had to abdicate. China then became the Republic of China, and Sun Yat-sen was appointed interim president of the country on 29 December 1911. Sun Yat-sen is considered one of the greatest leaders of modern China. We move to the next event in 2003, when journalist Elsa Siregar is one of the Indonesian journalists working for the RCTI television station who became casualty while covering the Aceh conflict in 2003. He was reported missing in July 2003, and his car was found at the base of the Free Aceh Movement, an armed separatist movement that aimed to separate Aceh from the state unity of the Republic of Indonesia. Langsa is known as one of the areas that became the Free Aceh Movement's basis. On December 29, he was found dead in a shootout in Kuala Manihan, Simpang Ulim, East Aceh. He was one of the casualties of the armed conflict in Aceh. We end with the event in 2013, the Volgograd bombing. On December 29, 2013, there was a suicide bombing at Volgograd Station, southern Russia. This incident killed at least 18 people and injured 29 others. A day later, a similar attack occurred on a bus in the same area and killed 16 people. Group of the Syariat Jamaat and the Caucasus Emirate were accused of being the masterminds behind the attack. That's today in history.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Presiden Joko Widodo's youngest son, Kaisang Pangarep, and Erina Gudono held a wedding reception at the Pendopo Ageng Pura Mangkunegaran in Solo, Central Java on Sunday. Pendopo or Pendapa is a large pavilion-like structure built on columns. Did you know? The Pendopo, which is one of the buildings in the Pura Mangkunegaran complex, is the largest Pendopo Keraton in Indonesia. This joglo-shaped building measures around 3,500 square meters. Joglo is the vernacular wooden house of Java with its typical high roof. With an area of 3,500 square meters, the Pendopo Ageng Pura Mangkunegaran can accommodate up to 10,000 people. Pendopo Ageng has 108 pillars. The number 108 itself consists of the numbers 1, 0, and 8. When the numbers are added, the three numbers make the number 9. The number 9 is the largest number for the Javanese. In addition, 9 also symbolizes the number of holes in the human body, which all must be taken care of. Besides the Pendopo, Ageng Pura Mangkunegaran has Soko Guru, which are right in the middle of the building. Soko Guru means four main posts or pillars. Uniquely, the four main pillars are made from a single tree taken from the Donoloyo forest in Wonogiri, Central Java. The four main pillars symbolizes the elements that support human life, namely earth, water, fire, and air. If you visit the Pendopo Ageng Pura Mangkunegaran, you will see this pendopo is dominated by yellow and green colors. Those colors are not chosen in a reckless way. The yellow and green ones are the colors of the Pari Anom, which are the typical colors of the Mangkunegaran family. On the ceiling of the pendopo, there is stretching batik kumodowati. This batik cloth is divided into 8 squares, where the middle parts of each squares has different colors and meanings. Yellow means to prevent drowsiness, blue to prevent disasters, black to prevent hunger, and green to prevent frustration. Furthermore, white colors prevent lust, orange prevents feelings of fear, red prevents crime, and purple prevents evil thoughts. There are also three gamelans in the Pendopo Ageng Pura. The three gamelans include Kyai Seton, Lipur Sari, and Kyai Kenyut Mesem. One of the gamelan, namely Kyai Seton, is more than 100 years old. The three gamelans are usually played at certain times, such as traditional ceremonies, welcoming guests, and dance practice. For the floor itself, it is made of Italian marble. You have to open your shoes when you enter this pendopo. Meanwhile, the chandelier that adorn the roof of the pendopo come from the Netherlands.
Lembaran foto hitam putih, aku coba ingat lagi warna bajumu kala itu. Kali pertama di hidupku, manusia lain memelukku. Lembaran foto hitam putih, aku ku coba ingat lagi wangi rumah di sore itu, kue coklat balon menawani pesta hari ulang tahunku. Dimanapun kalian berada, ku kirimkan terima kasih untuk warna dalam hidupku dan banyak kenangan indah. Kau melukis aku. Lembaran foto hitam putih, kembali teringat malamku, hitung-hitung bintang saat mataku sulit tidur. Suaramu buatku lelap. Dimanapun kalian berada, ku kirimkan terima kasih untuk warna dalam hidupku dan banyak kenangan indah. Aku, kita tak pernah tahu berapa lama kita diberi waktu. Jika aku pergi lebih dulu, jangan lupakan aku. Ini lagu untukmu, ungkapan terima kasihku. Lembar monokrom hitam putih, aku coba ingat warna demi warna di hidupku. Takkan ku mengenal cinta bila bukan karena hati baikmu.
Listener, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Listeners, Miss Lani for today has a topic, the New Year's Eve celebration in Jakarta. Listeners, people are about to celebrate New Year's Eve by visiting some public places. In Jakarta, the provincial government of Jakarta has made New Year's Eve celebration spots in 7 locations to prevent the large number of visitors. This year's celebration is first New Year's Eve celebration after 2 years of the COVID-19 pandemic, which hit Indonesia. There are several locations chosen for New Year's Eve celebrations. One of them is Central Jakarta at Jalan Tamrin 10, which is at the area of the Tamrin Sudirman Road. There are also North Jakarta and West Jakarta at the mayor's offices. Meanwhile, South Jakarta is at Setu Babakan and East Jakarta is at Old Shanghai in Cakung. The Thousand Islands is on Untung Java Island. Then the peak of New Year's Eve celebration is going to be held at Taman Mini Indonesia Indah or TMII in East Jakarta. According to the head of Jakarta Tourism and Creative Economy Department, Andika Permata, the provincial government is to provide state performances in various music genres at each location at the New Year Eve celebration. Besides the Jakarta administration is also about to implement car-free night along the area of the Sudirman MH Tamrin Road from 8 p.m. to 2 p.m. In addition, the provincial government of Jakarta is also going to set up some of music stages at the car-free night location. To reduce crowds, each stage presents music in various genres. The provincial government of Jakarta has prepared 40 parking lots in many spots along the Sudirman MH Tamrin Road. It has been ensured that it is enough for parking needs at the car-free night. Even though there are plenty of parking lots available during the New Year's Eve celebration, the head of Jakarta Transportation Department, Syafrin Lee Puto, asked the public to better use public transportation to get there. The site is also going to extend the operating hours of public transportation during the New Year's Eve. That's Miss Eleni.
Lihat peluang, buka mata, lihat dirimu, tak masalah, gapai mimpimu. I stick to the plan, and I don't give a damn. No need to worry, we gonna be, we gonna be alright.
Sometimes I need to slow.
Yang berlalu biar jadi masalah, lu. Yang negatif biar jadi yang elak, lu.
Ayo show.
Freeze harus lebih dingin. Peace tolong didamain. Oh, cheers tolong dituangin. Lebih santai dikit kalau panas harus cooling down.
Buka mata, lihat dirimu. Tak masalah, gapai mimpi.
Stick to the plan. To worry, we gonna be, we gonna be alright.
Sometimes I need to slow.
Siap ambil papan bila mereka tetap tinggal, aku tetap maju ke depan.
Hey, I don't give a damn. We gon' be alright. Sometimes we need to slow.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. We are going to present you a song by a musical group from Bandung, Kahitna. Kahitna was founded on June 24, 1986. Currently, the group initiated by Yovi Widianto consists of three vocalists, namely Carlo Saba, Hedi Yunus, and Mario Ginanjar. Their music is a mix of jazz, pop, fusion, Latin, and ethnic. The theme is always about love with a romantic lyric. It's just like the song Cerita Cinta or Love Story. This song is about a love story between two people who met, fell in love, and decided to get together. Well, listener, here is Cerita Cinta by Kahitna.
Dari mata.
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
Rasanya hampa. walau katamu banyak rindu. Perasaanku tak bisa dustai, tak seperti dulu lagi. Aku tak mau terus begini bila kau tak lagi sungguh-sungguh cinta aku. Walau hati ini tak sanggup lupakan dirimu, ku sadari aku yang harus pergi. Aku masih punya hati,
aku masih punya hati.
Kau pasti tahu itu,
kau pasti tahu.
Bila ku salah, mengapa kau diam? Mengapa tak kau bicara? Aku tak mau terus begini bila kau tak lagi sungguh-sungguh cinta aku. Walau hati ini tak sanggup lupakan dirimu, ku sadari aku yang harus pergi. Cinta ini masih tersimpan, meski semua kini hanya menjelang fata morgana.
All right, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and send us email on voi@voinews.id.